Welcome back to AppFabric TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, joined today by my colleague, Josh Twist. Welcome, Josh.
Hey, Ron. Thanks for having me.
So tell me about yourself. What do you do?
I am a program manager on the AppFabric workflow team. So yeah. I'm part of the team that's responsible for creating an exciting new host that's going to make it really, really easy for developers and businesses to get workflows running in the cloud and eventually on-premise too.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, and it's this is an interesting time, right, because we're doing this kind of taking workflows that we've had running on-premise in one way,
yep.
and then we're going to push them into the cloud, but they don't run exactly the same way in the cloud. Well, they do, but they don't. I don't know. You're going to have to explain this whole thing to
me. We have tried to make the difference. So there's a new host.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. There's a new engine underlying that host. Yeah. And we're trying to make that so compatible that you can take most of your existing workflows, put them in this new host, and you won't even notice the difference.
Ooh, okay, okay. Because that was one thing, you know, that a lot of people were worried about is like, oh, and when I put a workflow in Azure, am I going to have to rewrite everything, or am I going to use different activities or change it in some way? You're saying if I have a workflow service...
Yeah,
that's running in IIS and AppFabric today on premise. I could just take that thing, drop it in the cloud. It should just work.
I don't know if it'll always be 100% that easy,
but
okay. We're certainly aiming to get it very, very high. So there's going to be some things that you do that probably won't work. So if you're using transactions in your workflows,
oh, okay.
You're in Azure now,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There's no distributed transaction
right,
coordinator.
Right.
That stuff isn't going to work. There are going to be some subtle differences, but we're aiming for a really high level of compatibility to make it
really
easy.
So, for example, a transacted receive scope can't use that.
Right? Can't use that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
That's not going to work.
All right, but if you're not doing transactions, you're just doing a receive, then really the idea is that it should work, but fundamentally when it's in the cloud, it's functioning with a different host environment,
yeah.
right? Because, so before... My workflow service is running under IIS. It's running in an IIS worker process.
Right, right.
And so I kind of know, look for W3, WP.exe and all that, right? So
yeah, yeah.
In the cloud, that's not it. It's running as an AppFabric application.
That's right.
Which is a whole different thing. Can you just talk me through how does a message get into my workflow in Windows Azure?
Oh man, you've gone deep really quick here. This is great. So essentially, here's the first shocker. So you've heard of AppFabric Service Bus?
Yes.
I know you did this great session with Will Perry just a couple of weeks back.
Right.
Service Bus is kind of the beating heart underneath workflow now.
Okay.
First of all, it's our core messaging engine. So
okay.
It's how all messages are going to end up arriving into workflow. We'll support things like WCF contracts in the fullness of time and normal WCF messaging, but that's going to come in via Service Bus.
Mm.
And here's the real thing that normally raises an eyebrow when you first hear it.
Okay.
That is, we actually store, in this new host, workflow instance state inside Service Bus as well. So the instances are actually stored inside Service Bus. And it sounds kind of weird, because I think of Service Bus as a queue.
Yeah.
And storing instances in a queue seems odd.
Yeah.
But actually, it's kind of a marriage made in heaven.
Okay.
As these messages arrive, it correlates with the instance, and the runtime is hydrated with knowledge about the instance and that new message. So that's how everything works internally inside AppFabric workflow.
Ah, so messages get dropped into a queue. A queue... then the message gets pulled from the instance. So this solves actually one of the thorny problems that we have with the on-premise solution today,
yep.
which is that a message could arrive at a host that does not have the instance data.
Right.
Right. Right. And so then we have to go get the instance data and bring it here, which means I have weird conditions like this host has the instance data, but the message came over here.
Yep.
And so, you know, this one might have it locked. This one has to buffer and wait and those kind of problems.
Yep.
All that goes away when we just deliver the instance data with the message all at the right place at the right time.
Exactly right. And it gets over some other problems as well. Using Service Bus allows us to achieve massive scale. You know, we can this new workflow engine should be superbly scalable, almost to infinite scale, based on that new platform.
Okay, okay. So I think it's important for people to understand because, you know, one of the things people might be thinking about today is, you know, maybe they want to write their own instance store and they think, I could do all kinds of whatever their plan is to do in their instance store. That doesn't really function that way in the cloud.
No,
so,
no.
So you don't have to think differently about that.
So that's one of the things that's slightly different. So if you have a host, a workflow host now, and you've implemented your own persistence store, then mm-hmm. you're probably going to have to make a few changes to go into App Fabric workflow. That's mm-hmm. one of those. That's one of those deltas where we think it's a problem. That's a small number of people in our experience, so mm-hmm. we're hoping that's going to be, we're going to really minimize the damage in terms of moving forward to this new host.
Well, and it might also impact if you've done promoted properties or you've done things that rely on promoted properties, right? Yeah, okay. So, and we should say, before we get into this, tell me about this CTP1.
Yeah, and that's a great point, actually. Uh-huh. So this is CTP1.
Yes.
We're sort of, you know, think of the evolution of AppFabric workflow. There's kind of crawl, walk, run.
Yeah.
And we're probably crawling right now.
So just kind of barely crawling.
Barely crawling, you know, yeah. So I think you mentioned about promoted properties. If people have things they'd like to see in this workflow, things that are really important, then please get in touch with me. Yeah. I guess we'll make sure that my details are available at the bottom of this
or they post. They can leave comments right on Channel 9.
Sure, yeah, that's great. That'd be great.
And it's important for people to understand that there's a period of time where we are really eager for feedback because we can do something about
it's
it.
Now. Yeah.
And then there's a period of time when feedback comes and we say, it's too late.
That was such a good idea. If only. Yeah. Yeah. Now's a good time. Yeah.
Now's a great time. So it's important for people to work with us while we're crawling so that we can do something about what you need. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So you got a demo for us. We're going to try to see if it works.
I want to talk about the June CTP.
Okay.
I know you know all about AppFabric applications because there was the great session with Karen Deepanand, who's one of our GPMs, and workflow is a core part of those AppFabric applications.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to look at one of the samples that we shipped in the June CTP called Contoso Pizza. And it's a very simple sample, and it considers what it would look like to build a pizza ordering service using ASP.NET and workflow as the kind of orchestration engine behind that. You know, it's a long-running process. It doesn't last for years or hours, but it lasts for a matter of minutes. You know, we go through the various stages of ordering a pizza. And we use a couple of key new features in AppFabric workflow to achieve that.
Mm, okay, great.
So what we have is a number of workflows, and here is the composition screen. That you'll be familiar with from AppFabric applications. And you can see we've got a bunch of services in here.
Okay.
We have three workflow components.
Yeah.
This order workflow, he's kind of the daddy. He's the guy who's going to orchestrate these other workflows. And we're going to do a lot of workflow-to-workflow communication in this sample. Let's just think about ordering a pizza. So actually, one thing I want to show you, this is cool, if you haven't seen this before, the diagramming capability of AppFabric applications will help us really easily explain how this application hangs together.
Oh, right.
So here we've got our web UI. That's going to be the ASP.NET front page that's going to accept orders from customers. You know, they want decide what pizzas they want and submit that order and then advise them of the state of the order as they run through that.
Okay.
We have here a little WCF wrapper. This is a very simple WCF service that simply wraps the workflows and provides a more business-like interface as you would expect to use it from the web application.
Mm.
Down here, we have one of our workflow services. This guy is called Order Workflow, and he's the main guy. He's the chap that's going to be responsible for organizing all the work that's going on.
Okay.
What happens is, a customer places an order that arrives with the order workflow. First thing he's going to do is send you an acknowledgement, say, yep, received the order, we're good to go.
Okay.
The next thing that's going to happen is he's going to send a message to another workflow, the cook workflow, to say, hey, I just received an order for some pizzas. Can you cook this, please?
And
does that by sending a one-way message.
Yeah.
Sends a one-way message off to this other workflow. That other workflow, the cook workflow, is then going to say, right, I've prepped all the ingredients, I've got everything ready, your pizza's now in the oven. So he's going to hand back a one-way message that says, the status of this is it's in the oven. And then later on he's going to send another message that said, right, it's boxed and it's ready to be collected.
Mm.
At that point, the order workflow is going to send a message to the driver workflow and say, hey, got a pizza ready for delivery, can you deliver this? The driver workflow will go through a similar process, he's going to say, right, that's en route, and then eventually he'll say it's delivered, process over, hopefully a happy customer.
This sounds like my favorite online pizza service. They are fantastic. I have to give them credit because I actually met with these guys. It's Domino's.
Oh, really? Right.
I went out to their headquarters and met with the team that built the Domino's website. They have the coolest thing because you go online, you order the pizza, and then they have this this thing that animates and it tells you your pizza's in the oven you know, Bob put your pizza in the oven and, you know, Sam's going to deliver it now and all, it tells you the whole thing right up until you get the pizza. It's great.
Yeah, so this is perhaps a little bit more advanced than my Contessa pizza, and it actually results in pizza, but I will say that ours are cheaper. Ours are free. Yeah, you just don't get anything in the end of it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what this looks like. So let's go back to that composition view. As you know, services in AppFabric applications have endpoints and references.
Okay.
And an endpoint in a workflow service is a messaging contract that's been derived from the workflow definition. So you can see I've got a bunch of endpoints here in my order workflow.
Uh-huh.
iOrdering service, iCook feedback service, iDriver feedback service. This one, this top iOrdering service here, is where you receive the order.
Okay.
And we'll look at these messaging constructs in the workflow itself in a moment.
Yeah.
These feedback services are the contracts that say, this is how you can tell me about the status of that other workflow. So, you know, when the pizza's in the oven, when the driver's delivering it, we've created those contracts.
Mm.
Then finally, we have iWorkflow Management.
Okay.
Now, that's a special endpoint that allows anything that references that endpoint to interrogate the state of workflows. So this is how you look at what instances are running, get details about a specific instance, and we'll take a look at some of the code that lies behind that in a moment.
Oh, okay, cool.
So let's have a look at my order workflow.
Yeah, it's really nice how you can get the whole overview of how things function there. That's fantastic.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's a great way of just seeing the layout of your multi-tier application just off the bat. Okay, so here's my order workflow definition, if you will. First thing we have is a receive request that allows people to place an order, and that's going to receive a messaging type that is essentially a list of pizzas. We send a response, so a quick acknowledgement said, your order's good, we're now going to get on with processing that, and we'll keep you up to date as we're going. Notice here that this receive has a messaging contract iOrdering service. It's that messaging activity that's generating those endpoints that other components can reference.
Right.
I could have referenced it directly from the ASP.NET application. Any other component in my composite AppFabric application could have referenced that endpoint.
And so from any other application, if I wanted to send a message to this, it's just like sending a message to any web service, right? I mean, I just add a service reference and invoke it?
It feels very similar.
Uh-huh.
At the moment in CTP1, it's always going via service bus. And we're going to... One of the limitations of CTP1 in AppFabric workflow is they're not publicly addressable.
Okay.
You can't just hoist your workflow up and have that be addressed publicly.
Oh,
and that's
okay.
One of the reasons for fun I included a WCF service.
Oh, right,
It essentially means that if I hoist up the WCF wrapper, that WCF wrapper can be publicly addressable.
Oh, okay.
We'll fix that in future versions.
Oh, okay, great.
So... Here we have a status equals received. This is actually a composite activity, but underneath that we're using a cool new activity in AppFabric workflow called set user status.
Mm.
Now this is a common request. You know that we have workflow status in workflow instances, and it's typically things like started, completed, terminated, suspended, etc. Wouldn't it be cool if you could have a custom user-defined set of status that actually map to your business process?
Ah.
And that's exactly what this new activity does. So alongside the workflow status, you can create a little, just enter some text, you know, it's free form text that you can enter in there, and you can record the status of each instance using this new set user status activity. That's exactly what we're doing here. So we're saying the user status of this workflow instance is now received. The order's been received.
And how do you interrogate this status?
That's using that iWorkflow management endpoint that we talked about before.
Okay.
So we'll take a look at the code behind that in just
cool.
a second. This is cook order. This activity is being generated when I added a reference from this workflow service to the other workflow service.
So
like when you say add service reference in workflow 4.0 today, you get these generated XAML activities. Boom, that's a generated activity there that will call, activate that other workflow, and I'm good to go. So messaging is just as easy. It's a really great case, actually, for doing workflow-to-workflow communication using this new referencing between these endpoints.
Okay, great.
We have another receive. Now notice that this one is the iCook feedback service. So the cook order was sending that notification to the cook saying, hey, you know, we would like these pizzas, please prepare them. And this is a receive that allows him to send a one-way back that says, right, the order's in the oven.
Now let me ask a question about persistence. Okay,
sure.
So I don't see, you know, any persist activities here, but I'm sure that there was persistence that was done.
Absolutely.
And so can you explain to me how was persistence done here?
Well, I think of workflow as, you know, a series of episodes. A workflow goes to sleep, comes to life. And these episodes are typically implicitly defined by the structure of your workflow. So let me say, for example, here we have a receive. So when a receive comes in, we're going to start the first episode.
Yeah.
And that's going to run as far as it can. It's going to churn as much work as it possibly can.
Yeah.
And it's going to hit this receive. It can't do any more work. So it's going to reach the end of an episode. We're going to do a checkpoint. And at that point, it's going to commit all the state changes and side effects, and this is one of this new interesting aspects of this eventual consistency engine. Maybe we'll get some time to talk about that in a bit more detail at the end.
Yeah.
And it's going to go to sleep at that point. So, boom, when we hit receive, we're going to persist.
Okay, so because it's effectively persist on idle, right?
Essentially.
Yeah. Okay, because, we reached a point where there's no more work to do.
Yeah.
The workflow is idle.
Yeah.
We're persisted. Right, okay. I just wanted to be clear on that, right, about how that works. Okay.
So carry on. And essentially, actually, this thing now is just following the same pattern. So we don't need to go through it all. But you can see that once we receive this notification that the order's in the oven, I'm going to set that user status now to be in oven.
Okay.
And that's going to drive the experience on the website that shows the little check marks as I go through each instance.
So I
can use this whole experience to drive that website. Let's take a quick look at some of that code that I mentioned. So if I pop back to my design view here, remember we had this WCF wrapper.
Uh-huh.
And this WCF wrapper is the first thing that's going to consume that iWorkflow management endpoint. So let's take a quick look at the code inside here. And inside my getOrderStatus method, you know, so I call the order status with a particular order ID, it's going to go away and get some information for me. So it calls create import. That's going to. This is this way of referencing an import or an endpoint in code.
Okay.
So what I have over here is an instance of iWorkflow management.
Okay.
It's going to hit F12 and have a look at the definition of that guy. Notice that returns has two methods: get all workflow info and get workflow info with a specific instance name. Think of the instance name as being like the instance ID.
Okay.
And that returns a workflow info. It returns like a header file about the status of a particular workflow instance. And in there, we have some interesting properties. We have the time the instance was created. We have that instance name, which is the instance identifier. We have the last modified date, so the last time there was a checkpoint typically, or there was an update to set user status, or, of course, the workflow status itself changed. We have a string, which is user status. That's where I'm going to find my received, in oven, en route, delivered, etc.
Okay.
I have a workflow status. You'll be familiar with this. This is in progress, completed, terminated, etc. It's a smaller set of statuses. We've simplified this in AppFabric workflow compared to the full workflow 4.0 statuses.
Okay.
And we also have a property, workflow status details. If the workflow status requires a bit more information, say it faulted, we'll have the exception details in here. Also, if you terminated it, you terminate the workflow, you can provide a reason string. That's where that's going to appear.
Now, the instance name, in the past we thought of instance ID as a GUID. Is it same idea, or is it a GUID, or what is it?
Well,
does it matter?
Well, we're still exploring this exactly right now. It isn't the same thing as an instance ID. It's we're looking at having a resource model. As a clue for you, in AppFabric workflow as we move forward. And this is a hint to that, where instances are resources within a resource hierarchy, and they'll have names. At the moment, these things are GUIDs. So it is essentially the instance ID. But the implementation's a little different inside.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Notice we've got this other cool feature in here as well. It's one of my favorite things about AppFabric workflow. And that's a list of active bookmark infos.
Mm-hmm.
So we can look inside this, and it will tell us the things that an instance is currently waiting on.
Right.
So if you have, for example, a delay activity that means your workflow is going to persist for a few hours, you'll get an active bookmark info that has a description of delay until 12 o'clock on June the 1st or whatever. It'll also have the name of the activity. If you have a receive, it'll say waiting on a message, this contract, this operation, this message time. So you can very easily see exactly what your workflow is waiting on, marry that with the user status, and I think that nails quite a few common asks from workflow customers. So quite a slick set of new features there with respect to the instance state.
And we should say, just because I know some people will be like, oh, I wish we had that for on-premise workflow. Eventually, there's no guarantee on the timelines on this, but the hope is soon. But not
soon. Soon.
You know, who knows what that means?
Not soon enough. Yeah, exactly.
But someday we're going to take this and try to make it run on-premise with Windows Server and if you're not running a Windows
Azure. That isn't like an empty statement either. You know, as we're working on these features, we are actively, constantly arguing about, well, if we're going to leverage this, it's going to make it easier to move this on-premise. It's very much in our mind as we're developing AppFabric workflow for the cloud. We're constantly thinking about how that maps back to on-prem.
Okay, great.
Great. So that's iWorkflow Management. That's kind of how he hangs together. We've seen how contracts get created, which make endpoints on AppFabric applications. How would we run this? So this sample's available. We'll provide the links on the post. But in order to run it, you have to tell it some stuff about Service Bus. In CTP1, that's a little bit fiddly, so I thought we'd run through how that feels.
Okay.
Now, as I'm sure Karan mentioned... Oh, my homepage. Nice.
Yes, I see you're a Brit.
I'm a Brit, so I read British news. Yeah. I'm sure Karen mentioned that it was a limited CTP.
Yes.
So in order to get full use of it, there was only sort of 500 people.
Right.
So if some of our viewers aren't the lucky people to get this, they still can play with AppFabric workflow by downloading the CTP and running it inside Visual Studio with the Visual Studio tools and the SDK.
Okay.
They will need a Service Bus subscription, which they can get from Labs, and they'll need to do what I'm about to do now.
Okay.
So in here, you can see I've got my Service Bus account. And there are some details that I need to paste into my projects. So I have the service gateway. I'll need to take this, and I'll need some details from this management endpoint in addition to the key. So let's go and set this up. Here I've got a bunch of properties that I need to populate in order to get my application building and running. I need the issuer key, which is kind of the password for Service Bus. I need the issuer name. It's always owner in this case, so I can just type that right in. I need the URI of my Service Bus endpoint, and I need the STS host. That's the host name of the ACS point that Service Bus needs when we're going to do authentication. So let's go and get that data from AppFabric. First thing I need is this service gateway. I only need the domain because I'm actually going to have a different scheme when I paste this into workflow. This bit's a little fiddly. We're going to make this all go away by CTP. You know, when we're at the walk stage of our evolution, we're going to make this much slicker.
Okay.
This is a bit of a pain point, but I wanted to go through it so people know what to do.
All right.
So we're going to have SB colon whack whack. Okay, so we pasted that in.
Now, just to be clear, you're going to run this workflow on your machine, but you have to have internet access and you have to have a Service Bus thing. You can't run it all locally, like when you're sitting on an airplane with no Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
you
at the
can't
moment,
do it.
I really hope we can solve that, and we're working towards that. We want to be able to run locally. That would be cool. At the moment, we do need to use a real Service Bus, so that's why we're putting these credentials in.
Okay.
So I need the management endpoint. I actually only need the last part of this domain, so it's only asking for the host, so I need accesscontrol.appfabriclabs.com.
Okay.
So I just paste this in here, and then I need the issuer key. That's that password, so I'm just going to grab that. Okay, so that's one of my components configured. I have three. So I have to go and do the other two now. So maybe Ron can speed this up to some Benny Hill music or something afterwards.
Benny Hill, there's a bridge for you.
Especially for you. So let me just put these details in. And just bear with me one moment. So I'm going to go and do that guy as well.
I used to watch Benny Hill when I was in when high school. Man, he was like, you're talking 70s there, you know.
But he's one of our exports that I know people recognize over here in the States.
That is true, yeah.
Yeah.
Him and Monty Python.
Fawlty Towers, yeah. Okay, so that's Service Bus configured.
Uh-huh.
There's one last thing that we need to configure, and that's at the moment in the CTP, we're storing that instance state inside SQL. We don't have SQL that we can use, so we want you to bring your own for us.
Okay.
Now, we can use SQL Azure, or we can use your SQL Express that's running on your machine if you're running locally.
Okay.
In this case, I want to use SQL Azure, the SQL Azure account that came free with my application access to AppFabric. Now, as I mentioned, not everybody, only those who are lucky enough to get one of the tokens who applied quick enough, will have this node here in the portal. But you can use any SQL database. You know, we're not fussy. You just need a connection string there.
Okay.
So I'm going to get the connection string for the SQL Azure database, copy that. Paste this in here. I need to add one property, and that is asynchronous processing equals true. So it's a little painful right now. We'll make this much slicker. by the time.
I hope you have this on a blog post or something. These instructions are somewhere.
I will do that. It is in the README.
Oh, okay.
But no one reads it. I think we should call it Don't Read Me, because then I think people will read it.
That's a great idea.
Okay. So, and that's us ready to go, really. That's us, you know, we're good, we're good. Now, it takes a couple of minutes to get this running, so to get everything started. So what I've done is I've already deployed one to my management portal. So I can just go here and have a look at the application manager and see my deployed Contoso Pizza workflow.
Okay.
So let's just move into the app manager. There we go. You can see I've got my Contoso Pizza application. It's started. Let's go and have a look at the details there. And this stuff loads async. There it comes. So here is my web endpoint.
Okay.
So let's go and order some pizzas.
Great.
I'm afraid there's a very limited... There's a much better selection at the other pizza that you mentioned. So, I mean, what are you fancying here? Hawaiian, margarita?
Oh, pepperoni.
A pepperoni. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And a large, medium, a small?
Let's go large.
Large for that one. Any others? Just one? I'm going to go for a small Hawaiian.
Okay.
Especially it's so early. You know, I think the pineapple makes it almost breakfast. Right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. And let's submit that order. And if all goes well, this is CTP1. We're at the crawl stage. We might, you know, we might fall over. Here we go. So my order's been received.
Ah,
and hopefully,
great.
It takes about 30 seconds for each stage to come in.
This is a very fast pizza kitchen.
It is very fast. Well, it'd be pretty boring if I made, you know, you wait all that time and you don't even get a pizza. Right? I thought about making it even less time, but let's see. You get the idea anyway. The thing's going to come in a few seconds. It's going to say the order's in the oven, the order's boxed, awaiting delivery, et cetera, et cetera,
et cetera. Right.
We're going to move through all those stages of pizza ordering.
If you put a meta refresh tag on it, you wouldn't need that button.
Well, I had to write the demo in a short amount of time. There we go. So the order's in the oven now.
Oh, okay.
And it just makes it more you are pulling the workflow on your demand.
Right.
I can also log in here. And this will give me, I just need the password to be the same as the username. And this will give me the admin experience, if you will.
Oh, okay.
And here I can see all orders.
Ah.
So we should hopefully be able to see that I've got one order, it's in the box stage now, and that order was placed at a particular time. And that's all querying that iWorkflow management endpoint that we provide as part of the workflow service.
Beautiful, beautiful. So now here we have, so people have been asking for this forever. It's like, how am I going to run a workflow in Windows Azure?
Right.
And so just to kind of sum this up, let's think about that big question. So this is one way to run a workflow in Azure.
Yeah.
It's really kind of the preferred way, we think.
Yeah.
I mean, now, if somebody says, hey, I want to just spin up a web role and create a workflow service and run it under there, you could do that. It's probably not, I mean, we're going to say that's not the preferred way. This is the preferred way.
Oh, it's totally still supported. And it still has, you know, there's still some benefits if you want to just have that really quick.
Yeah.
You want to move what you've got, you want to get it into the cloud. Sure. I think as we move forward, this will become a better investment for people. You know, we're going to make it easier. We're going to get massive scale.
Right.
One of the things about the underlying engine of that fabric workflow is that we spend a lot of time thinking about things like high density. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to run workflows, particularly if you have, say you're an ISV and you have a lot of customers, a lot of tenants.
Yeah.
And those tenants might not be so busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them are only running workflows very occasionally. You don't want to pay to have a piece of machinery up and running dedicated to this very quiescent process.
Right.
So we're trying to find ways of making this very low cost, specifically in those scenarios.
Quiescent.
Oh, sorry, like quiet. Quiet. But not too busy.
Yeah, okay, but that makes a lot of sense because if I have a web role, the way I think about this is if I have a web role, I'm paying to have the light on. Right, whether it's busy or not, it's I'm paying for it, right?
Yeah.
And so, the idea is that if I have a bunch of customers, I have thousands of customers. In fact, the business model of software as a service says I'm going to sell lots of software to people who use it occasionally.
Yeah,
and they're not very busy, so I have to have a infrastructure that works with that kind of business model.
Right.
That's what we've thought about here.
Yep.
Okay. The other thing I think, you know, that we have to keep in mind is that if you deploy a workflow service in a web role, there's some things that people have relied on Windows Server App Fabric to do for them. like the workflow management service there and dealing with durable timers and a lot of the things like that, that is not present if you just run in a web role with IIS on Azure, right? So anyway, there's some things there that are just not present, so you would have to compensate for those. I just like to make that clear.
That's a good
point. But you can, like if you just said, you know, I can run a workflow from an ASP.NET app and just spin up a workflow application and run it there, fine.
Yep.
If I want to use persistence with SQL Azure, we've got modified scripts that will do that as well.
Yep.
That totally will work. I can run a workflow in a worker role.
Yep.
Okay. I just like to cover all the bases here.
It's all still there. It's all still going forward. This is just a new host, another option that should make it even easier.
Right.
But a new host with a target of having a very high level of compatibility with our other very popular host, Workflow Service Host.
Okay, so today, anybody who wants to can go download CTP1 SDK.
Yes, and the tools for Visual Studio. They should be able to get a Service Bus subscription via the labs that they can get those details to paste in, and then they can do Control F5. We don't have an F5 for debugging experience right now, but you can run without debug, and you can play with AppFabric Workflow.
Okay, so you can get this experience like we saw here, you know, kind of running on your own machine.
Mm-hmm.
There were, you mentioned 500.
I think it was 500
tokens. Yeah, there were 500.
Yeah.
So for those lucky 500, they can actually run their workflow in the cloud.
Yep, they'll get this app manager experience. They'll be able to play with all this stuff, see all these pieces. Yeah.
Okay. So I imagine those are probably all gone already. But
I suspect so.
Yeah. So, but when CTP2 comes out, there'll be more slots.
I hope so.
We hope.
I very much hope so,
Okay, so the thing is, if people are watching this today, they're thinking, hey, I want to figure this out. Go get the SDK. Go run it locally. You have to do all the stuff you saw.
Yep.
And then tell us what you think. If you like it, don't like it, what do you want to see? How do you want to change it? That's great. We want feedback.
Could be good. Talking about the evolution of AppFabric Workflow, you know, we're in that crawl stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about the core value props of Workflow being long running. You know, doing long running process. We demonstrated that we kind of nailed that with CTP1 to a degree.
Yeah.
Also, you know, the ability to have composition, so you write code inside activities and then you compose them. Again, we support custom code activities in the CTP1, so we've sort of nailed that to a degree. There are some other things, though, like application visibility. So, you know, the great tracking story that had in Workflow 4.0.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't nail that in the CTP. That we're working on that right now, and that's going to come. So really keen for feedback on how that should look and your current requirements, how you're using that.
Mm-hmm.
How would you think of that if it was more of a service? You know, we're trying to make things easier, more turnkey.
Right.
With AppFabric Workflow. I think another key scenario that we maybe missed slightly with the CTP, mainly because we were so focused on getting this new engine right. You know?
Yeah.
So we wanted to get that foundation solid so we can build these features on top. And that would be the platform for custom authoring. Right now, AppFabric Workflow CTP, it wouldn't be so easy to have to create workflows that are added after deployment. You know, so you want to have these dynamically added workflows that are created by your customers. That's something we're working on right as I speak right now. So again, feedback on how you feel that should look as a service, how that would stand up, that would all be great.
Oh, okay. And then what about extensions? Are those supported, not supported?
Well, we're looking at some of those. I think a few probably definitely won't be supported. For example, the persistence IO participant that's all around participating in a transaction. You know, some things don't really make any sense. Persistent participant, we're thinking about that guy. Maybe we'd have something along those lines, but it's less high on our priority list right now because we're taking care of the storage for you in AppFabric Workflow.
Yeah, but, you know, in Workflow, you can have an extension that does virtually anything, right? You can just drop it in there like, you know, somebody contacted me over my blog the other day about they use an extension with Log4Net. And
interesting.
Maybe they want to, you know, use Log4Net and from an activity or something, you know, can they use an extension like that?
Well, we're looking into that. I don't have the answer right now is not in the CTP1.
Yeah.
I guess data and feedback and how much we should be prioritizing that as we build these features out, that would be really good to know.
Right. Okay, cool. Right. Thanks so much, Josh, for being here today.
It was a pleasure.
All right. We'll see you next time on AppFabric TV.